good action section here in Paul's letter, chapter 4. All the action words really are pointing us to God's work in our life, what He could do and we can't do on our own. But just to look at them with you real quick and focusing in on the don't be anxious, pray with thanksgiving challenge, which is going to take divine intervention for any kind of move like that for sure. Verse 1, I long for my Christian brothers. Something the Lord had in Paul's life and He could have in your life and my life. Would you say, I just love being around God's people, you know. I got to get there. I got to be giving, and you'll receive also. Verse 1. Verse 2, stand firm in the Lord. This is how you should do it, Paul says. And he was talking about being a citizen of heaven. He was talking about pressing on. Those are qualities of standing firm in the Lord. Same place you think of, okay, I'm committed to Christ. What He did, who He is, God's Word, some of those major stand firm issues. Verse 2, I plead. Isn't it great? Paul had a heart to say, I really want this to happen. Agree in the Lord. And he says, help these women. There were two people who were in conflict, and Paul thought that was going to hurt them, that was going to hurt the fellowship. And he says, hey, you know, they helped me, and they worked together for Christ, and their names are in the book of life. So there's some encouragement there. You could be at odds with somebody, you know, and by the grace of God, still go to heaven, right? Because Paul's saying, hey, these folks, you know, I want them to be one in the Lord. And so if you're at odds with somebody, rely on the Lord to make that right, at least in your own soul. He can do it. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Always something to be glad about in Him. 6, don't be anxious. Pray with thanksgiving. And verse 8, think about what is excellent and praiseworthy. Now that shouldn't be too hard, being the whole creation is filled with God and all His creative excellencies. Okay, and our minds tend to say, okay, I'm going to think about sin, you know, that finite, rebellious garbage that we do, which is really, it is bad, but not to miss God and all His blessings. Okay, whatever is right and excellent and praiseworthy, think about these things. But to, and as you and I face life, we'll have moments of being anxious. So, what does the Bible say about that? Just a little bit. It says a lot. We'll just focus in on the passage plus some applications. As a way of personal testimony, anxiety in my life has been, as one writer put, a frequent unwanted visitor. Okay, anxiety, especially growing up, ages 5 to 20. I don't know, it seems like every day there was something to be worried about, something to be anxious about. And I remember, boy, going into fifth grade in particular, I finally had some peers that I thought, oh, you know, we're fantastic in our peerdom over here, in our peer group. And we were going to have the nicest teacher in the school in the fifth grade. So it was going to be like a great summer and a whole 9 months to look forward to, finally. I didn't have to be worried about the meanness of any teacher, but it was the one teacher was going to be good. And I remember just saying so often, strange thing to say, but I guess I needed it. I have nothing to worry about. Okay, that's the restless heart of somebody living in a troubled world. Okay, but God was merciful. And God used people, God used His Word, and God helped me with anxiety, and still does today. Okay, when the unwelcome visitor comes again. So the Lord is faithful. God points us to Himself as our strength, our rock, and our peace. And just some things to really focus in on. Give thanks to God. That's a major relief of being anxious or worried. God's Word. In everything, pray with thanksgiving. There's a PhD teacher at Geneva College in the Bible department. Real great guy, has a doctor in philosophy and also teaches Bible, so that's quite a thing. And he and his wife have a practice when things are particularly troublesome for them. They have a journal, and they write down every evening five blessings for which they are thankful. Okay, and they, you know, and what they try to do is have different blessings that they write each day. So the first day they include the best ones they know, Jesus, His Word, family, and heaven, and so forth. And then second day they go for five different ones. Third day, five different ones, and so on. You might think, oh, don't you run out of things to be thankful for after about 4 days, you know? Well, if we stop and look, God opens our eyes to His goodness. In fact, He gives us, you know, blessings all mine with 10,000 besides, as one of the hymns says, about His faithfulness. So we can pray with thanksgiving. And it's not a cure-all, but it does get our minds to God. Okay, and it sets a tone for a life that really honors God. And anxiety itself is means to have a mind that's divided or having internal strife. Okay, I thought of the old song, Elvis, he wasn't singing about anxiety. He said, I'm all shook up. Okay, remember that? But that's what it feels like when you're anxious. You're all shook up. What are people worried about? The past. Okay, you have to commit that to God. It's gone. Parents that are either in heaven, gone, or still alive. Oh, is everything okay? I wonder how the parents are doing. Children, big concern. We're talking in Sunday school about Mephibosheth, a son of Jonathan. Mephibosheth needed help. I'm sure Jonathan was concerned about him. David took him on and blessed him. And you think about it, young ones in your life, whether they're your children or somebody else, would you rather have people bless your children, okay, or the little ones you're concerned about, or would you rather have them bless you? Almost everybody would say, well, children. Bless the children. You know, bless them first. And we get to be adopted children by the grace of God. So if you're concerned about children, you pray. You say, oh God, I commit them to your care. Our spouse, and we're there to bless and to build them up. Health, common concern. Daily bread, that's really our work life. Concern about work. Concern whether I have to work or not. It's sad, that's a concern for many people. God and eternity. There's something, if we're made for the Lord, then when we're apart from Him, that becomes a point of thinking. Am I at peace with God? Do I have a chance to walk with Him? Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they tried to hide. I know when life goes bad, even as a young adult, I tried to find places to hide. And strangely, I found a safe place in the dog food aisle of any grocery store. And I didn't have any dogs. But I thought, that's a safe place. Nobody will find, they won't be looking for me here, you know. But when you're out of kilt with God or others, eternity. When you think about it, you and I live on the brink of heaven or hell. That would be a major concern. I have to get peace about that. Would Jesus come and save me so I don't go to hell where I'm prone to, but go to Him where His new nature would prone me to. Okay, God gives us that second nature in His Spirit. And another point of anxiety, am I loved? Do I belong? Every child that goes to first day of school, that you have that, you know. Do I belong here? Am I going to fit in? And is there some place that's safe for me? Am I loved? Do I belong? And our Father in heaven says, you belong to me, and I love you. So it begins to settle that issue for us, so we could bring that good quality to other people, to love, have them love and be belonging. Anxiety itself is pretty rough and pretty common. If you look at how people are doing in their emotions, number one issue in our land is loneliness. That's what we feel first, loneliness. Number two is anxiety and depression. So it's very chronic. Like if you took all the people who had cancer and all the people who had heart problems and put them together, they wouldn't match all the people who had anxiety. Much higher number. Anxiety and depression. These guys are under perhaps more immediate physical threat, but the frequency is very great on the anxiety side. And so God has 365 fear nots or do not worry in His Word. It can affect our relationship with God. If we try to claim we're not anxious, then we try to get maybe non-emotional. That's no good. The Psalms were very emotional in their prayer. God is very emotional. I don't know if you've ever thought of the Lord that way. He doesn't fly off the handle, but he has intense emotions. He invented all emotions, creativity. So when you see somebody, you know, real, real happy or real, real sad, don't say, you know, wow, that's a strange phenomena. No, God gave you the emotions to express some kind of truth in your life, Lord willing. And Jesus said, when you're anxious, it can choke out the good seed of God's Word. Okay, so anxiety can make you distracted. I know in my own life sometimes when I'm anxious, I can't read a chapter in the Bible. I got two or three sentences, and that's it. I'm looking for something to anchor my soul into to stand firm in the Lord. But if I try to read a whole chapter, I cover 10 problems, not even in the passage. Okay. And so this can happen. If it doesn't happen to your soul, it will happen to somebody you love. Jesus recognized it. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Check out those sparrows. I'll take care of them. And every day there will be trouble. But remember, his mercies are new every day. So when the day of trouble and anxiety is there, God's help is there too. See, he's our strength. And we know we need him moment by moment. Peter had some great things to say about casting our anxiety on God, our cares. Humble yourself before God, he says, casting your care on him. It's like a throwing. We see people throwing garbage on the garbage truck. Okay, it's to be cared for by somebody else. Here, Lord, please take this. And if I have to throw it your way, you know, 24 times a day, I will. This, Jesus is on duty about this problem. Jesus is on duty. And so you can rest in him. And we do that. Interesting that casting our cares has to do with being humble. So when we depend on God, we're less likely to be really destroyed by the anxious thoughts we have. You say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to surrender myself to you. And these concerns to you. Cast the cares on God. He cares for you. God cares for you. That's good news. To God, it's a care concerning you. That's the Greek there. And when you think about it, all anxious thoughts are a matter of concern to God. Just like you would with a loved one, you know. If you really love somebody and they were upset, you don't say, you know, stop being upset, you know. Stop being worried. You're not going to help them one part, but you come and you take that on yourself. Oh, I'm concerned about that too. Oh, thank you. You know, all of a sudden somebody's in my corner. It happens to be the Lord. Now I really have some help. Casting your cares on God, He cares for you. And again, our humility, trusting in Jesus, will help us Save us from self-preoccupation, self-pity, self-defense. That's always comical. And self-center of the universe. We don't want any of that. That'll make our world very anxious down there. And God gives help. We talked to an elder at Somerset Fellowship. They said recently one of their closest loved ones, who was like 40 years old, had a terrible stroke. Total loss of one side of their functions. No, couldn't move one leg, couldn't move one arm at all. And just a hard adjustment. And whether that would return to function or not, you know, all the questions. And he says, and the Lord has this concern in his care. And he said it was such, it wasn't like blowing a horn or something, but it was like, I want God to take care of this. And I think, my confidence is he will. So the Lord will do that for you in the heartaches of your own soul, which he feels. An old poem. There's no throb or pain that our hearts can know, but he feels it above. That's when somebody loves you, it's like that. And who the Lord loves you the most. So he cares for you. And look in God's word to build up your trust. Trust, building truth. Here's some. The Lord is near. That's both his return and his presence. In Philippians 4:5, 1 Peter 5, God cares for you. His whole being is looking out for you. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. So the brokenness of your thought life or not being able to go in one direction at a time, that's a sign of anxiety. The Lord can take care of that. Put your mind on him. Frank Laubach, the old missionary translator, he said when he tried to think of the Lord in the back of his mind, like we're all, we all something in the back of our mind, we could have the Lord there to the front. He said he was able to concentrate on his translations much better. That's give that to your soul and to your mind. Right and true and lovely, put your mind on him. And then the confidence, the Lord will be your confidence. That's a faith-building passage, Proverbs 3. And then the Lord, my strength, my song. And Jesus has mercy on people who get anxious and worried. He says, hey, remember your Father in heaven. Look at the creation. God takes care of things. The dirt keeps being dirt. the trees keep coming back when they're supposed to. And consider the lilies and look at the sparrows. Real nice poem that was taken out of Matthew 6, at least the sparrow part there. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, oh, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. And how the Lord's that way for us. He's trustworthy. And we learn to put our trust in him. Pray with thanksgiving, and God will be there for you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. You could say, peace be still to the storms around us. More often, we want you to say, peace be still to our anxious thoughts. When we're able to give thanks that you're there, you listen, you care. You're our song, our strength, our salvation. That anxiety starts to go away from us. And we start to know, as the promise says, the peace that you would give. And pass our ability to understand the peace, but the strength of your peace. So bless your people in these ways. And be close to each one, especially the troubled in heart and mind. And there's no embarrassment or shame in that. Being Jesus came for the troubled soul. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're going to close this.